God had chosen him from the womb. We know this because in the very beginning of the prophetic book that we call the prophet Jeremiah, we have this phrase that before you were in the womb, I chose you. So from the time he was a little boy, Jeremiah knew that he was called by God. This morning's reading is from the 23rd chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. And if you go back to chapter 20, Jeremiah writes these words. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. Imagine the feeling, knowing that he'd been called from the womb to be a prophet, and yet his experience is, God, I've been deceived by you. Here I am being faithful to the vocation you have given me, and every day people mock me. But two verses later, in chapter 20, he then goes on to say this, if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. So we can imagine, he's given one of his oracles, and then he's going away from the crowd that's been mocking him, and he's perhaps saying, that's it, Lord, I'm never doing this again. I'm done. But then he stops, and he realizes, I can't stop. I have to speak what God has given to me. I cannot hold it in. And so as Jeremiah continues to look around the state of contemporary faith in Jerusalem, he gets to this point where this fire that is like a belly igniting his soul, he has to diagnose the spiritual disease that has become cancerous in his people. For you see, these people had been entrusted with the word of God, and these people were telling lies, these shepherds. And you need to appreciate that in Israel at this time, or Judah, that the shepherds were not just the religious leaders, they were also the political leaders. And what was happening was they were telling lies, and the people were applauding them. It was as if parents continued to feed their kids junk food and candy, and the kids said, this is great, this is just what we want. And that's what it was like with Judah's leaders. They were giving their people food that had no nutrients, and they were spiritually malnourished. And so as we get to this 23rd chapter of the prophet Jeremiah, he begins with what's called a woe song. And he says, woe to you shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. And then as he goes on to speak, he speaks on behalf of the Lord, who says, I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. And so what we see happening here is that because of the kind of spiritual malpractice being conducted by Judah's leaders, the people were being scattered. Now, it's interesting to know that at this time in Judah's history, they had a king by the name of Zedekiah. Zedekiah, Jewish names mean something. And the name Zedekiah means the following. The Lord is righteous. That's what the name Zedekiah means. The Lord is righteous. Hold on to that, because I'm going to come back to it in a couple of minutes and you'll see its importance. But for now, let me say, he was anything but a righteous king. He was an unrighteous king. He was one of the ones being implicated by Jeremiah in his denunciation. Because you see, what had happened was because of the lack of leadership, the people were being scattered. And so Jeremiah goes on to anticipate a new beginning. For the Lord speaking to him says next, Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Now you need to appreciate something. A few hundred years before Jeremiah lived, there was a civil war. And there was a division in the land of Palestine. Subsequent to the civil war, the northern country became called Israel. And the southern country was known as Judah. And for years, for centuries, they were divided. But as we hear in this reading, a day will come when a remnant from Israel, a remnant from Judah, will come together again. A shepherd will draw God's people into one. Who is the shepherd? Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one who brings that remnant people back together again. You have to appreciate that after the year 598 BC, when the southern country of Judah went into exile in Babylon, that even though they came back together around the year 520 BC, they never had a king. They never had a monarchy again. So for centuries, it was as if the Jewish people were divided. And so it's not by accident that Jesus calls 12 men to be his apostles. Why? Because, of course, they not only represent the 12 tribes of Israel, but the 12 tribes of Israel that are now reunited into one family. No longer divided between Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Now, with that in mind, listen to the very last part of today's reading. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king. Reign as king. Who's the king at the moment? Zedekiah. He's not a good king. He's not reigning as king. But one will come who will reign as king, and he will deal wisely. Listen to this. He will execute justice and righteousness in the land. And this next verse? In his days, Judah, the southern country, and Israel, the northern country, will live in safety. And listen to the last part of this verse. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Remember what Zedekiah's name meant? The Lord is righteous. This king will not only be the Lord is righteous, but the Lord is our righteousness. Remember what St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't this amazing? Hundreds of years before Jesus Christ comes, Jeremiah, who said, I don't want to speak anymore, Lord, I'm done with speaking for you, speaks a word that for thousands of years has resonated down through the centuries. The Lord is our righteousness. As you can see, I'm pretty excited about this. And there's a reason why I'm excited about this. It shows us the beautiful harmony of the Bible. It shows us how the Old Testament anticipates the coming of Jesus Christ. And it shows us something of such significance and importance, that unity that Jesus intended has for 2,000 years been lived out in the Roman Catholic Church. We've had our ups and our downs. We've had good popes, we've had bad popes. We've had good priests, we've had bad priests. We've had many times in the church's history where you can read Jeremiah 23 and say, yep, that's what the church has been like. Of course, the sex abuse scandal with clergy was one of the most horrific things that has happened in the life of the church. But rather than defeating the church It became an opportunity for us to have to reassess and to reevaluate what it is to be Christians in the 21st century. And to be Christians in the 21st century is to realize that you are called to a particular priesthood. I'm called to a particular priesthood, but we share in this priesthood together. Up on the screen is going to go a verse from the Catechism. And this verse speaks of the priesthood of the people of God. Christ has made of his church a kingdom of priests and gives the faithful a share in his priesthood through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. Did you know that? Do you know that you share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ? We have to have an understanding of the church today. And that's one of the things I love about St. Peter's, is I think we really do understand this here. That the priesthood is the priesthood of the family of God. And that through your baptism and through your confirmation, you share in this priesthood. We'll just leave this up here as I say a couple of more things about it. As the people of God, you have a priestly vocation, whereas the Catholic faithful, you are to tend caringly to the people entrusted to your care. To be husbands, to be wives, parents, brothers, sisters, friends, work colleagues. Listen to this. Whose words and actions help to gather people together, rather than to scatter them. By doing this more and more, your lives will embody that Jesus is your righteousness. And you will live caring and compassionate lives. Now, there are also priests like me. And what does the Catechism say about guys who dress funny? Listen to this next paragraph. The ministerial priesthood, received in the sacrament of holy orders, differs in essence from the common priesthood. So we've got the common priesthood, that's all of the people of God, and we've got the ministerial priesthood for men like me who are ordained to this office. It has as its purpose to serve. Oh my goodness. To serve the priesthood of the faithful. That's what it is to be an ordained priest. It's to serve you. And if we're not serving you, then something has gone very wrong. So we are to serve the faithful by building up and guiding the church in the name of Christ, who is the head of the... Jesus is the head of the body, not me. Although because I'm conformed to Christ, persona Christi, there's a particular way in which in my office I represent Jesus. Jesus is the king. He is our righteousness. He is the true shepherd. And when the church understands this relationship between the common priesthood and the ministerial priesthood, then more and more our congregations will be places where there is a true quality of what we would call pastoral care. When the church experiences this kind of life, St. Peter's, which already manifests this in so many beautiful ways, will become ever more the place represented in today's gospel. A place where people can hear Jesus say, come, find rest. Come and be renewed. It's hard living in a world like this, but do you know what? It's always been hard living in a world like this, be it the first century or the 21st century. But when we can come to Jesus and receive the rest that he offers us, it makes all the difference. And for me as a priest, it's so easy to be busy all the time. There are so many demands. But without being in that relationship of conformity to Christ, to resting in him, I cannot live out my priesthood. And the same thing is true for you. you need to develop an interior life, a life of prayer, a life where you're learning to be silent, to turn off the radio, to shut down Facebook, to be quiet, to go for a walk, to come to our grotto and be quiet with Our Lady. We live in a very restless age. But the more we can encounter this rest, then what we will discover increasingly is Jesus working in our lives in such a way that St. Peter's increasingly will be that kind of community where Jesus will see those who are like sheep without a shepherd, and he will have compassion on them. A compassion where we are learning to live our lives in such a way that we say, Jesus Christ, you are our righteousness. You are the true Zedekiah. St. Peter's. On the 1st of August, I will become your pastor. And what a privilege this will be. What a responsibility it will be. And I am inspired by these words of Saint Jean Vianney, who said the following: a good shepherd, a pastor after God's own heart, is the greatest treasure which the good Lord can grant to a parish, and one of the most precious gifts of divine mercy. But it's not only having a priest who's a good pastor. It's having a congregation who is a good pastor, who, in understanding their common priesthood, are growing in an understanding and a living out of their faith. Jesus is calling us today to be the true Zedekiah, because he is your righteousness, he is my righteousness, he is our righteousness. This is the Lord. This is the King. And his name is Jesus.